Where are we? That's the big question here. I think we're in Holly, but maybe we're in Charlemont, or maybe we're in Hollamont, which is also some portmanteau.
The accidental middle of that Venn diagram of these two towns that are just real close to each other and never really sorted it out.
One thing we know is we're at Meadow Sweet Farm in somewhere, and the, as comedian John Hodgman calls it, the internetless hills of Western Massachusetts, with Jennifer Kaur from CISA, the local hero, folks, and Gus and Kira Toffel from Meadow Sweet Farm. But where are we?
We are in Holly, officially.
But you say you're even the post office doesn't really know or acknowledge where we are?
I honestly am not entirely clear on that point myself. I know that sometimes my mail says Charlemont and sometimes my mail says Holly, and I just tell people it's okay if it says Charlemont. It will still get to me.
So Holly is its own municipality? Does it have its own like town government separate from Charlemont and all that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, good. I didn't know if it was like a village of Charlemont or what.
Yeah, it's not like a Florence, Northampton or a Haydenville, Williamsburg sort of situation.
Or a Turner's Falls, Montague. But we're at another livestock farm, but we don't have to do chores this time, Jennifer Kaur. I almost called you Jennifer Cisa.
Except for now they're trained.
You want them.
If you didn't make us get up early like we had to when we had to go to Jennifer's house and Hetty Bell Farm last week to do it, we would have.
Yes. I don't know how much we should be just generally advertising this, but yes, we are now
available for chores. Yes.
And they're skilled. They're building skills, so take them up on it.
But tell us about your livestock farm here.
We have a diversified livestock operation. We have dairy cows, beef cows, sheep. Seasonally, we have pork, chicken, turkeys.
And we're in a little farm stand on the road here, but the actual main operations across the street?
Yes, we sell most of our products from our own farm store. We sell fluid milk to Macagene Creamery for their yogurt, and then we sell raw milk in our farm store along with all of the meats that we produce and some other local farm products.
We're right across the street from the iconic, at least in Western Massachusetts, Side Hill Farm Yogurt, and you have a relationship with them too, right, Gus?
Yes, that is correct. So we came here in 2019. We bought the farm from Paul and Amy, who started Side Hill Farm. And basically, we bought the farm. The deal was that they buy the extra milk that we have that we don't sell in the store as raw milk, and they produce Side Hill Yogurt.
Side Hill Yogurt is the starter for my wife's yogurt that she makes at home.
Which is now the Macagene Yogurt, so they've had this name change.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so it's not called Side Hill anymore?
It is not called Side Hill.
Oh, yeah, there it is. I wondered if it was like the Coca-Colas, because it looks like the same colors of the Side Hill thing. You know how you can get like a Coca-Cola with your name on it, but it's still Coke? I was like, oh, there's somebody else's name is on the Side Hill yogurt container. Whoever this Macagene is it Paul McCartney?
The logo is the same. The design is the same. It's just the name that is different.
Yeah, it's the same business. Yeah. So this is actually an interesting story, right? So this was all one intact farm with the yogurt and the dairy. And then in the process of evolving, as all of these businesses are doing, Paul and Amy sold the farm first to you guys, which then became Meadow Sweet, and then kept a hold of the creamery, made yogurt under Side Hill. And then when they were ready to sell that, they sold it to Jillian Williams, who is now doing the yogurt making, but keeping, it's like, lots of the same staff, as I understand it, right? Yes. They're keeping the same thing, and then they just changed the name but kept all the same logo and everything. So.
You can even see them both in this cooler. There's Side Hill Farm yogurt on like one of the shelves, and then there's Macagene yogurt above it.
The reason they did that is they couldn't keep the name Side Hill because there's a jam maker in Vermont who has the rights to the name. But since you have packaging and all of these things that need to be sold with the business, it's like we kind of need to phase it out. That's the reason why some of it's Side Hill still, some of it's Macagene.
I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one confused about this. I'm sure other Side Hill purchasers have been as well.
It's like the Charlemont and Holly thing.
Exactly. It's so confusing.
And you guys were saying earlier that you, because you are selling your liquid milk to them, you're getting a premium for that milk because you're right here.
Yes, we are getting a premium for our milk. We are paid $54 per hundredweight, which is good money.
Because what's like there's a federal rate that's regulated, right?
Yeah,
right.
So conventional farms, they're like at $18.
So think of that vast difference.
And then you have organic farms that are not grass-fed, that still feed grain, and they're probably between 35 and 40. And then you have grass-fed farms, and they're probably anywhere between 48 and 52. And that's all based on premiums as far as butterfat, milk quality. And we get like a flat rate. It's $54. We don't have trucking fees because the creamery is right there. They just pump it right over. The hard part for us, as we are getting that premium, our biggest issue is land base. Like, we do not have enough land to produce enough quality feed here. So we end up buying it from where we were in New York. So we're still having to truck that feed all the way from New York, which just completely obliterates the... It's like, yes, we're making money. No, we're not.
There's no closer feed that you can use?
No. So we did finally convince somebody over in Shelburne Falls to make feed for us, which is great. The problem is it still costs us the same amount to get it from Shelburne Falls to here as it does from New York to here.
Oh, man.
I'm not really sure why.
Yeah.
They just have bigger fields. It's a different landscape right there.
In New York, sure. It's like dairy farm. There is open land. You know, we've talked to neighbors. We've tried to convince them, hey, you want to make organic feed? And they're like, nah, we can just sell it to horse people. To be organic, you have to go through a certification process. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a big hassle. And so it's kind of hard to convince people to do it.
How many acres you guys on right now here?
We own 225, and there's about 100 acres of open. And then we... rent, lease, use, probably another 80 acres.
That sounds about right for Massachusetts. Yeah. Nothing's contiguous.
That was one of the main, that's one thing that really interested us in this farm was that it was actually 225 acres. Like, we looked around, you know, in Ashfield and Cummington, and it's like, you cannot find something like you can actually farm on.
The way we farm, because we're not a confinement dairy, we graze. Right. And so to graze, you need a lot of land. We need a lot of acreage right next to the barn because our cows are walking out to pasture and coming back to the barn two times a day. So we can't be bringing them to the next town over to graze.
Can you tell us a little bit about your raw milk sales on farm? Just because you just were talking about the prices, and I imagine that's where the price differential lives.
Yeah. We sell about 70 to 80 gallons of raw milk in the store per week. And that is profitable. Like, we can make a living off of that. But the problem is, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere. Kira and I are not good.
Through the mud. It's like a grandpa story.
And we're not good about putting ourselves out there. Like, we don't do Facebook. We don't do Instagram. We don't do TikTok.
I would love to see a TikTok dance right now. I've been throwing stateside, kissing
my sweetest boy over FaceTime. They're huge on MySpace, though.
I don't know what that means.
I don't think you could get Instagram or TikTok here anyway. I mentioned the internet, this hill.
Yeah, we like that. We're okay with that.
Radio waves will move, though, and all the people hearing about this will find their way to this farm store.
The problem is we don't even have a sign out front.
And it is on Forget Road, so it's easy to forget.
Yeah. Ironically.
Yeah.
What brought you from New York to Massachusetts?
It was my dream to farm in Western Massachusetts. I didn't grow up in Western Massachusetts, but my parents are both from Westfield, and I have a lot of family spread out through the state. And I graduated from UMass, from the Stockbridge School.
As your jacket says.
I didn't want to make assumptions, but like...
Could have
just found it at a thrift shop.
Graduation present.
That's an awesome graduation present, a hardy Carhartt Stockbridge School embossed jacket.
You're going to be out in the fields. You may need this.
But I have a big family that I'm very close to, and I wanted to be close to my family and raise my family close to my family. So I absolutely loved Western Mass.
What's your Italian last name, by the way?
Crisati.
Nice.
The Crisati's from Westfield.
So land prices in Massachusetts are like something like 3.5 times the national average. So that's the product of the development pressure that still exists and speaks to sort of the importance of protecting land and our APR program and otherwise. Because folks like you, we wouldn't have you here if there wasn't land. And there's other people that we're not getting because there isn't enough big contiguous plots of land.
Is it much more expensive in Massachusetts than it was in New York?
Yes.
Which is crazy because it's right there.
For open land in New York, I would say it's about half
of
what it is here. That being said, we are really appreciative of MDAR and
Mass Department of Agricultural Resources.
Yes. And just the whole community with CESA.
Community involved in sustaining agriculture.
What is the grant that we got for the cheese making?
The
Let's see if he knows this one.
Dairy business.
No. The
DBIC.
Innovation. Dairy Business Innovation Grant.
I'm not even trying to play this game. There's a lot of acronyms when we talk about farms because there's so many organizations that are just working together to keep them alive.
This is a new theme for, like, brewery trivia.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
But, yeah, I really like that there's just a lot of support, not just for dairy farms, but for every type of farms. Back in New York, it really felt like you had to be a big dairy farm. You didn't see, you know, many vegetable farmers or cheesemakers, forget it. But here, it's like, I've never heard a radio going to a farm out in New York and be like, hey, let's walk around and talk about farming. This is cool. This is neat. This is...
Appreciate that. Hey, let's walk around and talk about farming. Can we go meet your animals?
If you really want to go out there.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
It is trying to snow.
Yeah. It is climatologically still winter, very much so, here in Holly at Meadow Suite.
The wind is on full display today.
Yeah. Maybe you'll hear it when we leave the farm store here.
I was hopeful in my car. I'm going to grab my Carhartt from my car.
You also have two very specific breed of dogs here. What are their names?
Yes, they are Bear and Mojo. They are Australian cattle dogs. One is a red heeler and one is a blue heeler. And
meaning they heal or meaning that you can get like hippie medicine from them?
Definitely would love that you could get hippie medicine, but no, they heal. That's how they herd, is they go after the heels of the animals. I believe Mojo is something wrong with him. Bear, he has that instinct, and it is such an instinct. They just know to go after, to kind of sneak up behind the animals and kind of nip at their heels to get them moving.
It's crazy.
But Mojo has never gotten that, and he goes up towards their faces and jumps at, gets them turned around and going the opposite direction that we want. But we've learned to work with that over the years.
Just send him the wrong way.
Mojo's mojo is a little different.
Yeah. Bye bye, Mojo, working, buddy. Just won't work on you. So the wind is whipping in Holly. Woo, boy, is it still cold.
How far do you guys want to go out? Do you want to go out to the heifers, or do you want to...
Is there stuff, like, are the sheep
in the barn?
Yeah, let's go to the barn. Let's go to the next inside place, because I was like, this was a terrible idea after all. You know what?
No, let's go see the cows.
There they are, way over there. Nice to meet you, cows. What kind of cows do you have here, though?
We have a little bit of everything mixed in there, but primarily we have breeds that are known for our high protein content in their milk that are dual purpose because we do both beef and dairy. We have Normandies. We have Red Poles, which are not a very well-known heritage.
They give you wings.
Red Bull gives you wings.
These are Red Poles because they're pole. They naturally don't have horns, which is also something that we kind of aim towards because we don't believe in dehorning. We have a little bit of Jerseys and then a whole bunch of crosses.
All right, we're approaching some semblance of windbreak shelter. Here are all the baby sheep. Does it make you feel like you're at home, Jennifer Core?
These guys are a lot woolier than ours.
Yeah.
So these are all our sheep. We're pretty much done with lambing for the season. We just have this group over here that may or may not have lambs at this point. I think we've got around 80 lambs all together. And the diversity on our farm is really important to us. Because we feel that everything takes something different from the farm and gives something different back, so it just creates a healthier farm environment, a more holistic farm. You know, we have these dual-purpose animals, so we're not just focusing on meat and then have nothing to do with all of this beautiful wool that we get, or we're not just focusing on wool. We also have, you know, a market for the lambs that you need to keep growing your herd or your flock.
It's cool because you've got these sheep here and then like the chickens and other like birds and other animals just hanging all out together. Do you ever get the sheep and the cows together at the same time, or does that put them in a bad mood?
It totally does.
These sheep are so cute. They look like the lamb cakes that my grandmother used to make for Easter.
Did you have buying one?
They're not made out of meat, but they're made out of a lamb-shaped mold.
You're Italian. Did you ever have them? Yeah, for sure.
There's just so many galleries of horrifying things people have done to those cakes, trying to make them look like
nailed it. Looking.
Let's see who nails it and who fails it.
Terrible versions of the cakes. Look at them, so cute.
You
got two baby lambs in 2 weeks, Felice.
Look, I'm being spoiled, and that's because the world is on fire.
Well, should we walk back to the store?
Yeah, we can.
Before I freeze to death?
We can pop into the cow barn. We'll be more out of the wind there. And...
So we're peeking into the, where they've got the now Maca Jean yogurt, which is what used to be Side Hill. Now what? Where are we right now?
So this is our milk room. This is where we store our milk. So in this big bulk tank here.
And you're not using robots. You're the robot.
I'm the robot. Yep.
Yep. So how many times a day do you have to milk?
Twice a day. Yep.
60 cows?
No, 25.
Oh, 25.
No.
Still, that's a lot.
That's a good number.
Are you hand milking or are you hooking?
No.
Okay. I didn't know how low tech you were here.
About how much volume is that getting you per day? Like, how much milk are you?
So right now we don't produce much. I mean, it's winter time. We have a lot of cows that are in late lactation, which means that, you know, they're kind of coming to the end of their lactation. What we shoot for is 30 pounds per cow, which is not much in the world of conventional dairies, but for a grass-fed farm, that's a good number to shoot for.
A grain-fed grain-fed Holstein will make 85 pounds a day.
Wow. So when they're way out there in the field, do they come in because they know it's time to milk because they need to be milked, or do you have to get the dogs to go get them?
A little bit of both. Uh-huh. Like, if it's a beautiful sunny day with a breeze, it's like, you really got to get going. It's like, come on, let's get going. It's time to move. But if it's a nasty day like today, they're like, yeah, we'll go.
Just like we did. I was like, please get me indoors. I can't feel my hand.
And again, since we don't feed grain, like a lot of farms feed grain at milking time, so that's like a treat for them.
Yeah.
You know, that brings them in, but we don't do that. So, like, you don't have anything for us in there except for milking.
But maybe there's so much pressure that when you milk them, it's utter delay.
Why are you like this?
I was born this way, Khalees.
You do make some of your own feed. You just buy it. Yes.
Okay. I would say a year like this past year where we had the drought, we maybe made 10%. On a good year, we're making 20%. If there's no grass growing, you're starting to dip into your winter feed, and that can go pretty quick.
The trials and tribulations of organic. But you have a commitment to it, and I think a lot of people really appreciate that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you guys want to talk at all about the Real Organic Project? Because I know you're a part of that.
What's the Real Organic Project?
It's like one step farther from organic. Again, it's just they put a little bit more regulation on you as far as animal welfare. To be honest with you, I get a little bit frustrated about it because they're supposed to come out and look at our farm and say, oh yes, you are in fact doing the things you're supposed to do. And we have been Real Organic now for, I don't know, 4 years, and we have yet to have someone come out and be like, oh yeah, you're doing a great job, or oh no, you're doing a horrible job. You are not real. But that's one of the difficulties of being certified is it's, you know, it's all just not understanding exactly what we're doing. Like, one of the big things for us is we raise our calves on our cows. We do not bottle feed them. So our milk production doesn't seem like it matches up. It's like, well, how does that work? Well, they're beef cows then. It's like, well, no, we can still milk them. We can still get, you know.
Just don't take all their milk.
We just don't take all their milk. We are just different. But it doesn't fit within the categories that they have, which makes it difficult.
And so, it's this blessing of and curse of red tape, because you want there to be some sort of certification for organic so you can trust it. Yeah. And yet it disincentivizes people, especially on smaller operations, to do it because there's so much red tape.
We get phone calls from people who want to buy like a half a beef or a whole beef. You know, Kira talked to somebody in the fall, and they were like, oh, yeah, we're very interested. And then she, like, called to confirm. And like, well, I can go to Aldi's and buy certified organic grass-fed beef from Argentina for $3 a pound. It's like, oh, my God.
Yes, you can. But that, I thought that's not what you wanted to do.
But what you're losing in cost there, you're definitely paying for in, like, environmental impact, because that had to come from a ways away. Whereas, like, the closer you're getting your thing, the better it tastes. I don't know how many times I can say this. And the other thing of that, about the way that you raise your cows, like, the funny thing about people going, like, you bottle feed, is like, well, yeah, when people were raising dairy cows for, like, centuries before this, that's how they did it. They left the calves with the cows so that they could feed and so that the milk would continue. It's ironic that you don't recognize this as, like, the traditional practice.
Yeah, bottle feeding a cow seems ridiculous when you think about it for a second.
When you have, like, teats running all around that calf.
We drink cow's milk on our own as human beings. Cows should all... It's designed for cows to drink that way.
One interesting thing, though, is that it has been found, like, it is calves that nurse on the cows can actually hold back the butterfat for their calves. So they'll give us, like, the...
Skim milk?
Yeah, skim milk. Didn't want to say skim milk, but yes, they will hold back butterfat for their calves.
That's a cool trick.
That is a very
cool trick. I thought chewing your own cud was cool.
It's like, don't... You know, have you ever seen, you know, milk that hasn't been homogenized where the cream's on top?
Yeah.
So I just imagine the cows like, don't shake while we're going to the parlor.
Well, Gus and Kira from Meadowsweet Farm here in Holly, I really admire your strong commitment to the values that you want to hold on to, not not just not being on social media, but the way that you are raising these animals and the commitments that then comes across in the food that you're providing for us here in the Valley, or I guess in the hill towns.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so you don't have to find this meat and milk online. You can find it at 59 Forget Road in Holly.
Hashtag never forget. That's an internet thing.
And it is worth it for all of us to think about eating a little less meat and eating really high quality meat and being very intentional about connecting up folks that are raising it. So thank you guys for doing what you're doing. Yeah.
Well, we really couldn't do it without our customers. We are so, so grateful for the people who are willing to come out of their way up the hill to us because we know how inconvenient it is. But the fact that we have those people is the very reason why we can be here and do this. I mean, we didn't have that in New York. We didn't have a community that appreciated what we did. But here, I feel like I know the people who do care, and that's why I want to keep doing it.
That is a community involved in sustaining agriculture. Hey. Right there.
Shameless plug.